Okay, now, we're going to do something different, and I just can't help it. I just got all stirred up about this for the umpteenth time, and I just got to start and try to deal with it, and I've always felt like I just ain't up to it, because there's a lot that I don't understand about it. But it's just a real important issue, music. We're just going to take some time out here in 2 Peter, and we'll spend, I don't know how long it'll take to do this, but we just really need to have some learning about it. And somebody needs to say something, and I don't hear hardly anybody else saying anything about it. Got to say it in the right way, you know, it's something that needs to be dealt with in the right way, you know, It's one of these issues of life, like so many, but I think it's super important. I think it's a major thing. I'm talking about music. It's a major thing in this time we're living in, especially. It's more now than it's ever been, because everybody's got their gadgets, and everybody has to have the music going all the time. I was thinking the other day about back in the days past, you know, how much music did they listen to before there were anything, record players even? How much music did they listen to? It was a treat. It was something rare in life. I mean, to get to hear really good music. I mean, a lot of people had old guitars or fiddles that they sawed around on and clunked around on. But you know, that's, you know, all you got to do is go back and think about some of the early country music stars, and my goodness, they didn't even have tuners back then. You obviously, you know, guitars all out of tune and stuff. And but it's something that everybody just pumps all the time now. It's something that's going in all the time. Why? What is this addiction to music now that everybody's got? And there's very few that are addicted to the right kind of music. I mean, they listen to junk. Oh, well, I'm just going to start out tonight, and we're just going to kind of just meander around a little bit about some things about it. And then after that, I'm going to get a little more specific about the different things about it that need to be dealt with. Let's look in 1 Chronicles. I've got 1 Chronicles, a few verses. I've got some in 2 Chronicles I want to read here. I've got about 4 or 5 different passages of Scripture I want to read to you, just to kind of get the thing started here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7, "And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah, and Ahio drave the cart." They're bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. "And David and all Israel," are you listening to what the Bible's saying here? "David and all Israel played before the Lord, or before God, with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." They played with all their might. What were they playing? Music. Now, that was a time of worship. They were bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. That was what the deal was. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 27 and 28, it says this, "And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished." What does it sound like there while they were offering the offering? Was it that old mournful, eerie, whoa, like everybody says, thinks, and lets you see in movies and stuff? Did it sound like some kind of a funeral or anything like that? No. They had music. They used music in their worship, very obviously. Well, there's some more. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. There are hundreds and hundreds of references in the Bible to music and singing and playing and instruments. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands. I found hundreds and hundreds just like that. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph. Did you ever read in the Psalms? It said a psalm of Asaph. He was over the music. Yeah. And Jeduthun and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. That's 288 that were in charge of the music. That's quite a... I mean, choirs have got that many people in them. Music was a big deal in the worship of God. Always has been. I don't understand, really, these people like the Church of Christ and like the Mennonites and others that don't believe in any instrumental music in the church. You know, there's a lot of people like that don't believe in it. That no piano, no guitar, no instruments, nothing, just voices. Well, you know, I like singing without instruments once in a while. It's wonderful. But to forbid it when the Bible is full of it sure seems strange to me. I do not understand it. I can't get a hold of that. Now listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. 4,000 were playing instruments that David made. Or, you know, he may have had them made, but he was the one who was responsible for them to worship God with. And then in 1 Samuel, there's one more verse, and it's more familiar, I think, to us. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. All right, now, Lord, help us, I pray, and help us to make it clear and plain. Lord, this is so important, and I know that other people will hear this. It's not just for us here tonight. I do pray that it would be a help and a blessing and an eye-opening thing for folks, that they would want to do what's right before you and please you. And in all things, and in this too, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now these scriptures that we've read here make it very clear that singing and instrumental music were a major part of the worship services in Israel. We're not denying that. I would never deny that music is a big part of worship. And I wouldn't deny that the music is to be lively and even loud, and it's not something... You can't prove that it's not to be that from the Bible. I can tell you that. Try to prove that music is not to be lively and loud, you can't prove that in the Bible. No, because it's lively and loud in the Bible. And enthusiastic. They played with all their might. That means they were enthused about what they were doing. They were into it. They wasn't sitting there going, I shall not be moved. They wasn't doing that. You know, they were into it. They were worshiping. They knew what they were about. They were loud. They were very enthusiastic with their music and their worship of God. But the service was about worshiping God, not about the music. When they were right with God and when they were really worshiping God, the music was toward God, not toward them. It wasn't something they were doing to entertain each other and to make everybody feel good. They wasn't rocking. They were worshiping God. And there's a big difference. And I know people say, well, we're worshiping God when we're doing that. No, I just don't believe that. Because I hear the talk. I seen one boy, he said, rock, let's see, how did he put it? He said, but it was rock loud and worship hard. That's what he said. You know, now that's not worshiping. That's just not the way it is. But anyway, the service was about worshiping God. And the music was directed toward God and not toward themselves. It was not about entertaining the people who were there or exciting their feelings. That's not what it was about. What we're reading about here in the Bible was real worship, when people were right with God and it was being done the way it was supposed to be done. It wasn't and not just music, see, but the same thing happens in churches and worship services with the other things. The preaching and everything else that's done in a service, a worship service, it gets to being done to be seen of each other. It gets to be being done for our benefit, for each other, instead of toward God. No matter if it's the giving, no matter if it's the preaching can be just about that, you know, just about psychology and self-esteem and all that junk. And see, that's not worshiping God, and it don't promote the worship of God. But music's an important thing, and music can be loud and enthusiastic and majestic without being worldly and fleshly and immoral. I mean, if you would go, now I've never been, but I've got enough about me, I think, to imagine what it'd be like going to hear an orchestra play. I mean, a real symphony orchestra. You go to listen to one of them, I guarantee you, it's going to be loud. And I guarantee you it's going to be enthusiastic. And I guarantee you that it's going to be majestic, big. I mean, it's going to overwhelm your emotions. But it's not going to affect you the way this other music does. No, it won't. Consider it. It'll excite your feelings, but it won't excite your feelings toward immoral things and fleshly lusts. There's that music doesn't say murder and anger and rebellion. That murder doesn't say immorality and it doesn't make you want to shake and jump and dance. It's a different kind of music. It's loud and it's enthusiastic and it's majestic and it's big. But it don't do that to you. It affects you in other ways that are positive. And good. You know, how do you feel when you watch like that bunch that played on the street over there in front of that bank in Europe here a while back? Remember that? You see that? Where the little girl walked up there and put that coin in the cup and that one man was standing out, sitting out there with that bass violin. And then they all came out and by the time they got done, it was just awesome. Yeah. It didn't incite any feelings. It didn't turn anybody's mind toward anything sensual, anything immoral, anything ungodly. It was just, wow. Everything about it was positive. Everything about the music, it's unity. It's people working together. And, I mean, there's so much to be said about it. But, you know, that's why that's not the music they play in dance halls and beer joints and like that. That's why. It's not conducive to that kind of behavior. There's a different kind of music they have for that and for other things. Whatever the sin is, there's a music that is very helpful to it, very conducive to it, goes right along with it, encourages it, helps it, incites it, inflames it. There is music for everything like that. There's a lot of different music. And so, music and singing is mentioned hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible. And there's no way to think about removing music from our lives or from worshiping God. Because that's absolutely not the will of God. God is the author of music. I mean, the creator of it. He is the one who thought of it. He's the one who designed it. God is all over it, you know, and there's no way to think about getting rid of it. But the music we listen to and participate in it must not be unholy or accompany unholiness or immorality or iniquity. It should not be associated with those things. And, you know, when Moses come down from off of the mountain and Joshua and Aaron had made the golden calf and the children of Israel were all naked and dancing around that golden calf, the first indication of something wrong in the camp to Moses and Joshua was the music they heard. Before they saw him, they heard the music. Joshua called it noise. But then on down there it says they were singing. It was music. But it sounded like war. That's what Joshua said. He said, I heard the sound, the noise of war in the camp. Well, now what kind of singing, what kind of music sounds like violence, war? He said, they couldn't tell whether it was the voice of the one being beat or the one that was winning, the one being defeated or the one that was being, they couldn't tell. You don't have to have much of an education and you don't have to be too sharp to figure out what kind of music in our day sounds just like what Joshua heard. Now, what is music and where did it start? So, I mean, I'm pointing out that there's different kind of music. Those people were loud and they were enthusiastic and they were, you know, it was not majestic, but it was music that was filled with noise. I mean, they were into it, boy. Hey, they were worshiping, but they weren't worshiping God. They said they were worshiping God, but they were not worshiping God. They were deceived or deceiving about it. They were worshiping a golden calf, an idol. Now, what is music? Where did it start? Well, it started in the mind of God. And like so many other good things that God created, man and the devil have managed to corrupt and pervert it. I want you to know that everything God created was good. He said so himself. It's good. After everything he created, he said, it's good. It's very good. But boy, somebody's corrupted it and defiled it. And this thing is the same thing. God created an archangel in charge of musical praise. His name was Lucifer. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, who was in Eden that we know of? There was Adam, and there was Eve, and there was God, and who else? There was one other being that we've got in the Bible that was in the garden of Eden, the serpent. And that's identified as Satan. And that's who we're talking about. If you say, well, he's Lucifer, that's a different name. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That tells you who it was. It's either Adam or Eve or God or the devil. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets. What's that? Is that a musical instrument? And of thy pipes. What's that? It's a musical instrument. Organ is pipes, bagpipes, you know. All right. It was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thy tabrets, thy pipes, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So he was created as a musical being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, there's only one being that we can think of that fits all those things that he described there, and that is the devil himself, Satan. Saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Jesus said. He was cast out because iniquity was found in him. Now, he didn't have a sinful nature, you know. I mean, he was in heaven. and sinned. An angel. Sinful nature didn't make him sin. The devil has special wisdom, knowledge, and power when it comes to music. It's his specialty. And boy, you need to really, all of us really need to grasp a hold of that. That is the devil's, that's where he is most expert. That's what he was created for. So nobody knows it like he does. Nobody understands what it will do, its power. Nobody understands how to manipulate it and how to work it like he does. Buddy, he knows what he is doing with music. You can look at our society and you can see what's happened in the last 50 or 60 years in our society, just our society right here. You can see what he's done with music. And he had a plan. That was no accidental thing. Things didn't just develop that way by chance. No, there was a plan behind all this that brought us to the place where we're at now. The music of a society is equated with the morals of that society. I mean, it just goes hand in hand. You can just watch it, boy. And I'd like to just say a whole bunch more about that. But the devil has special powers. He knows how to use it to its fullest power and influence. And he uses it to produce the most evil that he can. You see, he is the enemy of God. He is bent on exalting his throne above the Most High, above the heavens. I mean, he intends to overthrow God. And this is his major power that he has, to influence others to join up with him, to be on his side, to work with him against God. This is his weapon, the most powerful thing he's got, music. And everybody is ignoring that fact. And well, let me just stick with what I got here. He uses it to produce the most evil he can. And in these last days, the devil is using music as a major weapon in his arsenal. It's like I told you before, with all the mass media and the means to propagate it, plus the ability to have it available 24 hours a day to every person, it's a mighty powerful tool in his hands. You know, you can go right in there on a computer and you can get any song that was ever written, ever sung, ever recorded, you can get it just like that. And for almost nothing or almost nothing. Then you can put it on your little MP3 player, which has no moving parts or nothing. You can have thousands and thousands and thousands of songs on a little old thing that you can put in your pocket no bigger than this thing right here. A matchbox. And look at the availability of it and the power of it. And so people have to have it going all the time. They can't go nowhere. They can't sit for any few minutes. They've got to turn on the music. Got to have the music going. Got to have the music going. What is that about? What kind of power is behind that? The devil, I'll tell you right straight up. It's the devil himself. As long as he's got the music going, you ain't thinking. He's got your mind. Now, in our day, music is most often the very means he uses to draw people away and entice them. I don't know how many people heard it, how many people really understand that, but it's his deal. I mean, it is his weapon that he is wielding mightily. Don't be a sucker. I mean, don't let him sucker you with it. Get your guards up. Think. Realize this truth that the devil is coming at you through music. Music has the potential to control. Everybody has always known that. The advertisers know that. The people who make movies know that. The people that write TV shows. Everything. They know that. The supermarkets, they used to play music where you just tippy-toe through there, and it's calm and slow, gentle music to slow you down. You know, they used to do that in restaurants too. They wanted you to sit there and relax and eat more. Now they want you out of there so they can put somebody else at the table. So they play music that just, you know, by the time you get out of there, you're just You gotta hurry up and eat. Music affects your behavior. Music has the potential to control how you think. Let me say this. Emotion. It can control your emotions. In fact, music is the language of emotions. That is what it really basically is. But it can make you happy or it can make you sad. And you all know that's true. We can sing a song, a sad song, and make you cry in 60 seconds. We can sing a funny song and you'll laugh and be happy. We can sing a joyous song and you get excited and full of joy. If it's about the right things. It can make you happy or it can make you sad. Music. It can make you aggressive or it can make you docile. It can make you just laid back and harmless, or it can make you aggressive. Hitler knew that. That's why he was playing marches while Glenn Miller was singing and playing to all of ours. And Hitler was bum, 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 bum. Everything they had over there that they listened to. They was marching. They know the power of music. It can make you angry, or it can calm you down. Old Saul had an evil spirit. What do you think that meant? He was angry and mad and upset. David could play on his harp, and old Saul would just calm right down. The sweet psalmist of Israel could just play with his hands on a harp. Don't say he sung to him. He played with a harp. And the evil spirit left him. And he'd calm down. Music does that to you. It does it to me. Every human being, we're made in the image and likeness of God. God made music. He made us. It's designed to do that. And the devil knows it. And the devil can affect us. So here's what we can do. We can go. We can stop it. We can choose what we listen to, what we allow to come in to our ears. Just like what we can allow what comes in our eyes, what goes in our mouth. Yeah, we can control it. It can make you act different. It affects your actions. It can speed you up or slow you down. You better watch it. You get out on the road driving, and you get some peppy music going, you're going to be going faster, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Put on something slow and draggy, and it's going to slow you down. If just like the supermarket deal I talked about, they played slow, easy music. It would make you move slower, and you'd see more things, and you'd buy more stuff because you're going slower. They play it fast, and it's, man, get out of here, it speeds you up. Unconsciously, it affects you that way. It can put you in the mood or out of the mood to worship or to commit sin. You listen to the right music and it'll affect you. It'll make it easier for you to sin. You listen to the right kind of music, it'll make it easier for you to worship God. Oh, that's so absolutely true. If it's right kind of music in the service and people are worshiping in the music, then, man, it makes it so much easier to worship God. It affects your mind the way it takes your mind and your thoughts and puts them in the right direction. It affects the emotions of your heart. It's supposed to do that. God meant for it to do that. But it's being misused by the devil and everybody that cooperates with him and by people who just don't understand. And they're just stumbling along and ain't got their guard up because they don't understand. They don't know. They're not aware that the enemy is around them doing these things. You know, I really believe that. I don't believe that everybody that listens to contemporary music, I don't believe that everybody that goes to these contemporary churches, I don't believe they're all that away. I don't believe they're all just rank heathens, is lost and headed to hell. I don't believe that. All right? I hope everybody hears that to start with. But they're headed on, they're on a road that's going to get them in terrible trouble in their spiritual lives. I guarantee you, because that music is going to affect them. It's going to affect the way they think, the way they feel. It's going to affect the decisions they make in life because of the way they think and the way they feel. And it's the devil behind it. And so he's going to take you down the road. In spite of your best intentions, in spite of your, you know, your heart that's really right toward God. That's why somebody needs to cry aloud and spare not and show my people their transgressions. That's why Ezra and all of them stood up all day long and read out of the Word of God and gave the understanding so the people could understand. And when the people understood, they wept. You know, when the king Josiah was, they found the book hidden in the wall of the temple and they brought it to him and he was, I mean, he was cleaning house already anyway. He was straightening things out. I mean, he was a good king. He had a heart after God and was wanting to straighten everything up and serve God. But when he read in that book what God had said and how far they were from it, oh my, sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. You know, we are way off base. And if people could understand nowadays, I guarantee you they'd say the same thing and feel the same way. A lot of things going on in churches that ought not to be going on in church. I mean, the devil himself's right in the middle of it. And they don't even know it. So I hope this, you know, some of this will open somebody's eyes and help them with this stuff. I mean, it can make you violent. Or it can make you kind. Music can affect you that way. The mind, it'll affect your mind. Songs are associated with events and with people. You do that as you go through life. You'll associate a song with a time, a place, a person. There are songs, if I'd start singing right now, you'd think of somebody. You'd think of a person. Because they're associated with that song. Or you'd think of a place where you were. Music just ties everything together in your life, in your mind, in your memory. Hearing a song will put you back in a situation you were in years ago in your memory, and sometimes it's something you don't want to remember. It does that too. It has that power, so it can be positive or it can be negative. It can be a sweet memory or it can be a bitter memory. Yeah, and you'll go out and go in a store somewhere and they'll have that music playing and there's that song. And you're right back there where you don't want to be. I mean, there's just so much power. And any message set to music becomes many times more powerful and easy to be remembered. Don't you know that? You can sing a scripture song and remember that the rest of your life. Just try to remember just the scripture. Much harder. Little jingles. See, that's why they had all those jingles on the TV commercials all through the years. See, this modern bunch, they've kind of, you know, they're so bent on another area of music that they can't even, but there ain't a person here that's, oh, you know, now you kids, probably not, but I can sing every one of the cigarette commercials. Everybody knows them. Everybody knows them. You've heard them so many times when you was a kid and, you know. Why do we remember that Winston tastes good like a cigarette should? Because they sang it. Yeah. And so many other things. I mean, that's what all the commercials were back then. Little songs. Just a little nippet of a song. And that way, it stuck in your mind. And it was highly effective. They knew what they were doing. They use the power of music to affect the thinking of people. Yes. Music breaks down the barriers to your mind so that the message can be inserted. Mm-hmm. It most certainly does. When I was young, I listened to the music. I didn't listen to the words. I just didn't pay no attention. I wasn't interested in the words. The music's what I was listening to. But I got the words. I can tell you words of songs right now that I listened to 35, 40, 45 years ago that I wasn't listening to then, but they're in here because the music's in there. I can't think of the music without thinking of the words. And sometimes when I hear some of the words that they were saying, it's shocking. I can't believe that I listened to that, to the talking about the devil and the, you know, I mean, demons and everything, just straight out talking about them. And praising them. And I didn't listen to acid rock and hard rock and heavy metal rock. I never did listen to that when I was a kid. I never did. I just never had no, you know, I just didn't like it. Other rock, yeah, but not that. So that's why you don't understand. No, I think I understand. What's wrong with drinking alcohol? And what's wrong with drugs? You know, what's wrong with it? Well, they cause you to lose control of your faculties and reason. Isn't that right? The Bible's real plain about it. If you drink, it'll cause you to be, your eyes will behold strange women. Your heart will utter perverse things. You'll have wounds without cause. And you'll have redness of eyes. Now, if you drink, that's what's going to happen to you. That's the result of drinking. Looking at strange women. Uttering perverse things. Why do you do that? Because you're out of your mind. You give your control of your mind, your tongue, your heart, everything over to another spirit. That's why they used to always call them spirits. Because that's what it is. I mean, it's a drug. It opens up. It does exactly what drugs do. It opens up your soul wide open for the devil and all the demons of hell to have free access to everything in you. It affects the way you think. While they're there, they can manipulate your mind and they can sow things in your mind. That's what's wrong with drinking. And that's what's wrong with doing drugs. And that's what's wrong with bad music. Because it does the same thing. Only it's probably more powerful and more long-lasting than any drugs that's ever been made, any liquor that's ever been drank. Music stays there. Its effects don't wear off by morning. What goes in there is there permanently. And so, when you think and do things that you would never do if not under their influence, that's wrong. That music's every bit as dangerous as strong drinks and drugs. You know, there's as much difference in listening to good music and bad music as there is between drinking water and whiskey. That's right. Well, that's right. You kids better listen and you better believe what I'm telling you. Music, now let's just talk about this real quick a little bit. I'll try to hurry. The rest of this ain't so complicated, but this is pretty good evidence that it's started with God, because music consists of three parts. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert on music, you know, and all the deals. I just understand the basic things about it. You know, we've always played music. I played music since I was a kid. We've always been a musical family, singing, playing. I mean, it's all been around it all. And so, you know, I understand a little bit about it, that there's melody, and there's harmony, and there's rhythm. That's what makes up music. And the corruption and the degradation of music in our time ought to be obvious to everybody, just knowing though that fact right there, that melody and harmony and rhythm is what makes up music. Melody should be the main part of music. The melody. It should be prominent. It carries the message of the music that you're wanting to portray or wanting to communicate. It's what the heart's listening for, is the melody. And it's the most attractive part of the music. Melody is what is most easily retained in your mind, those little jingles. They're melodies. Didn't matter if there's any harmony with it. Some of them had harmony, some of them didn't. Some of them had some rhythm, some of them didn't. I mean, I remember some of them that was just a voice saying, "Winston tastes good like a cigarette, kid." Remember? Nothing but a melody. That it caught you. That's enough right there. It did the job. I remember others where there was harmony. Two or three of them singing together, you know, in harmony, like an organ. Same thing. You got the melody. That's what you got. All right? Melody can go it alone. Without harmony and rhythm, you got a song. You got music with a melody. You got music. You got something that can communicate, something that can speak to your heart, something that your heart will grasp and hang on to. Hope you can understand that. Harmony is the perfect union of different melodies. Now, harmony is just what it means. You can't just have two or three people singing together and it's harmony. It can't, no. It's got to be music. The sound and the frequencies have to be right or it's not harmony. It's discord. There's a big difference. And you don't have to even know how to play music. You don't have to know anything about music. You don't have to have any talent. You don't have to be able to sing to know the difference between discord and harmony when you hear it. You know. Harmony is pleasant. Discord is like, not pleasant. And everybody has that sense, that perception. Say, well, I know some people. Yeah, I know. I know some people. It just sounds different to them or something when they're singing because it, you know. But it's usually the one singing that the discord that can't recognize it, you know. Harmony adds to the melody and makes it more effective. Melody's the main thing. Harmony's, it's added to. And it makes it more effective. Makes it more pleasant. Makes it more emotional. Gives it more power. Harmony should take second place and never override melody. And you know that's what makes a song sound good. You know, we've sang, you know, and I say, now look, it sounds a whole lot better if you don't sing all together, every word. You start out and say the first couple of words in the line, and then they join in at a certain point, you know. That's the way people that know how to sing and know music, that's the way they do it. It's not all harmony. You remember some of them singers like back in the 40s, them sisters and different ones, you can think of them. And that's the way they did. They sang every word all together. It sounded like a train, you know, blowing its horn, you know, all the time. Every word, everything they said, every sound they made, it was all of them together. You know, I can't do it in one voice, but it was like... And it gets old. It gets monotonous. Harmony should be an additive. It shouldn't be the main thing. You can overdo it. Rhythm is the last, and that ought to be the least emphasized in music. Rhythm has very obviously been... You know, it's very obviously able to arouse the flesh. I've watched our kids from the time they were babies. I mean, babies just able to pull up and stand by the coffee table. And music that had any kind of rhythm to it, their little bottom of going up and down and shaking back and forth in a baby. Why are they doing that? It's the music. It affects them. It's the rhythm of the music. What they're hearing, the prominent thing of the music. I've watched the little kids. You can take, I mean, Seth's sitting right there, and I've told it so many times, he's sick of hearing it, I know. But when he was a little bitty baby, I'd get a harmonica and get right down over him and play Home Sweet Home on the harmonica. And he would pucker up and cry every time. You know, who was that little baby here? I've seen a little video or something here a while back of a baby and that mother sang to it and it just pucker up and cry. The music affects the heart of a little infant that can't talk, can't understand language yet, can't reason, doesn't have any knowledge of anything, but music will make it cry or laugh or wiggle.
It's so obvious. How in the world? I mean, I'm not preaching a bunch of nonsense. I'm not talking about a bunch of hypothetical stuff. This is absolutely the way it is. And, you know, modern music, rhythm doesn't speak to the heart at all. It's strictly to the flesh. And modern music has reversed the parts in music completely. Rhythm is the most emphasized and prominent. Rap music, what is it? Is there melody? Is there harmony? Is there rhythm? Yeah, that's all there is. Rhythm. Not even any, you know, it's just nothing but rhythm. No melody, no harmony. Is that music? No. It's noise. But it's what everybody considers music. Modern rock music, hard rock music, is some harmony and a lot of rhythm. Not really any melody. Very little. You gotta seek, if it's there, you gotta really listen for it. And that's not the way music's supposed to be. The melody's the music. Everything else is complementary to it. But now it's rhythm. You know, what do you hear when the cars go down the road? You know, what is it you hear? That boom. And it ain't even in rhythm anymore. It's just all out of sync and just boom, 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 boom. Yeah. The Indians and the pagans in the jungle would be ashamed of them because they can't even keep time on a drum. I mean, it's really degenerate
yes.
in our day. The music is. Older rock music included a melody with a large dose of harmony and rhythm. 50s music? What was prominent? The melody. But what was there a heavy dose of? Harmony and rhythm, both. Yeah. Peppy. It makes you feel good to listen to it, don't it? It catches your attention. It catches your mind. It's not melancholy. Even though they sing about wrecks and death and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, all the themes are bad, but the music's saying, happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
It's all about fornication, you know. What were we talking about the other day? That Everly brother died and... And I said, you know, they sang a lot of good songs, you know, like, Wake Up Little Susie, We Gotta Go Home. What are we going to tell your mama? What are we going to tell your papa? You know. Yeah. But everybody's just, what are we going to tell you? You know, singing about a boy and a girl out all night. See, the devil just stands, he's got to just step back and laugh at everybody being so foolish. Look at them singing about adultery. And look at them singing about fornication and rebellion and murder and everything. They're just singing about it and dancing to it and singing about breaking God's law. Enjoying it. Dancing to it. Just eating it up. Rejoicing in their heart about violating the very laws of God. And claiming they're okay, claiming they're a Christian, claiming they're saved, they're going to heaven, and they love God. But singing about everything that's against Him. It's gradually decayed into the rotten mess that we see today. Now it's in the churches.
Yeah.
In all the degenerate form, its most degenerate form, it's in the churches. I seen there yesterday, and that's what's got me so stirred up. You know, I watched a couple of videos of this. It's Lancaster Baptist Church out on the West Coast Bible College, where we know people that have went and everything. And they're allowing contemporary music in. They're watering it down and smoothing the edges real good so that they can get it in easy and slow. But showed the song, their choir was singing this song. Then it said, if you want to see what the guy who wrote it meant for it to sound like, go to this video and watch it. So it's in Thomas Road Baptist Church, Jerry Falwell Church in Virginia, Liberty Baptist College. And I mean to tell you, it was terrible. But then they said, now, if you really want to see the real thing, look at this one. This is also in Thomas Road Baptist Church, but this is how they really, I mean, this is the full deal here. I mean, Joel Osteen ain't got nothing going to what they had. Darkened room, smoke, the lights, you know, the drums, the crashing, that echoing sound out of hell that's in all them songs, you know. And everybody was swaying and a carrying on and a scream and that song, chanting. It's chants. Yes. They say the same thing over and over and over. And they just work themselves into this emotional high. And I thought, man, you know, I've got tapes of Lester Roloff standing there preaching. I've got tapes of B.R. Lakin standing there preaching. And now the devil is there preaching. And they're worshiping the devil. They are. That's what they're doing.
That's right.
Not everybody there knows that, but that's what they're doing. I mean, 20 years ago, I remember reading in the Bible that the whole world would worship the beast and the devil. And I couldn't believe it. I said, I don't see how in the world. I just can't imagine how the whole world's going to worship the devil. Boy, I understand now. They're doing it. But anyway, modern country music and contemporary music, Southern gospel and country music are almost all harmony and rhythm with very little melody. Think about it. Southern gospel music, you always got the, you know, and you got the four parts and they do their, you know, on the ends and everything. It's harmony. It's funny harmony. It's hilarious harmony most of the time. But what is it? There's some melody and harmony, but man, what about that rhythm? And then just the worldly, the fuzz boxes and the blasting and the screaming and the, you know, there's just so much to be said, and I got to hurry because I ain't got time to say it all tonight. But it's all designed for the flesh. It sure is. Modern music incites violence. It sure does. Now, I know I may not be I ain't nobody, but I do know what it feels like when you're really worshiping God. And I know what it feels like when you ain't. And I've been in places where they had the music, I mean to tell you, where everybody else seemed to be excited, and I was not. I was very uncomfortable. And it was not agreeing with my spirit at all. It didn't make me want to worship God. I couldn't feel God nowhere. It was not, the truth didn't have anything to do with it. It was a bunch of noise and emotion. You know, they turned it up so loud that it does something to you physically. I mean, it affects you physically so much that it affects the way you think. I mean, they break you down with that noise. Man, I'm telling you. Well, modern music does incite violence. Modern gospel music is no substitute. It has almost completely infiltrated the church also. It's influenced and changed the standards and the behavior and the thinking of the majority of the church. It's about music. But it ain't the right kind of music. They think it is. But you know, what is the biggest deal that's going now, you know, all around? Ain't it the singings? That's the way you get people to church. Have a singing. A singing and a eating. You can get them there for that. Don't mention no preaching, though. They ain't coming for that. They like that singing, though. They like that preaching. A lot of singers won't even go to church. But they'll go there to sing and get an offering, but they ain't going to go listen to no preaching. A lot of them is that way. With all this in mind, then what should we do about our music? You know, what should you do about your music? Well, it's not just a matter of taste. What I like and what you like or what different people like, that's not the issue at all.
Listening to bad music is as bad as drinking whiskey, what I said a while ago. It really is. I believe it's maybe even worse. I know the effects are longer lasting. Music is a very dangerous thing to play with. It has drawn power that's as hard to resist as any temptation there is. Are you hearing me? There's no other temptation that's any stronger than the music. And I know what I'm saying. Your guards and your defenses are broken down and you allow more and worse in a very short time. It's just like drugs. It's just like drinking. It's just like every other sin of the flesh like that gets a hold of you, that's addictive. Music works the same way. You taste it and it breaks down and you want more and you want more and you go after it. You seek it. It can literally destroy your life. And the reason I say that is because it affects your mind. And it affects your emotions. And it affects your ability to resist sin. What is all that romantic music for? Huh? To break down your resistance. Same way that getting somebody drunk does. Or dropping a pill in their drink does. They think that's awful. Music will do the same thing. What's that serenading all about? I mean, what's that supposed to do? It's supposed to win their heart, isn't it? I mean, you sing them a song. Man, how can they forget that? How can they resist that? Unless you're a terrible singer. It can literally destroy your life. And in our day, music is most often the means to get you drawn away and enticed. It really is. I really believe that. Well, I'll stop because, you know, there's just so much more that needs to be said about it. And that only just scratches the surface of it, but boy, it's something that everybody needs to think and learn about, and you ought to care. You know, there's a verse or two that I want to use because it's just the way that we're supposed to try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see if they be of God. Don't that apply to this? Does music have a spiritual nature about it? Then we ought to try it. We ought to test it. We ought to check it out. We ought to prove all things.
You're right.
Yeah. We ought to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If it's not acceptable to God, then it shouldn't be a part of our life. We shouldn't allow it. But we're living in a day when there is no right and wrong, and music has taken us to this place where nothing is right or wrong anymore. You got no right to judge. That's what all this music has done. It's the major vehicle that's been used to bring everybody to this point where that's the religion of our modern day is judge not. And hopefully I can get that across better later on. Well, let's bow and we have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your blessings on the message here tonight. Pray you would help it to stick in our hearts and remain there. Lord, help us to learn these things and keep them and apply them in our lives, and we would use them so that we could be what it would be pleasing in your sight. Our life would be our conversation in this world, the music we listen to, that it would be what's pleasing in your sight. And that it would be helpful to our souls, that it would draw us closer to you and make it easier for us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless it now to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.